Here we go, Steelers fans. It's another episode of the Steelers Fantasy Football Fix. I'm your host, Jeremy Betts, and I am not so excited this week because the Steelers did not take care of business against the Las Vegas Raiders in Pittsburgh for the home opener. Oh, man, what a frustrating game to watch. I'm sure all of you can feel it as well. The injuries that were sustained on defense really sucked the life out of the team, I think. It didn't allow them to be able to do schematically what they want to do on defense, which is how the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021 are going to win football games for the most part. So, yes, a very disappointing week two after a very encouraging week one performance against the Buffalo Bills, especially in the second half. We're seeing some of the things that were a hindrance to this team's success in 2020 rearing their ugly heads, and also seeing some injuries pile up to key players again on defense. So hoping for better results in week three as the Pittsburgh Steelers head back home to face the Cincinnati Bengals on CBS at 1 o'clock. Don't forget to watch and root on your Steelers this weekend in what I think should be a bounce-back performance, but we're not going to talk about that specifically because that's not what we're here for. We're talking fantasy football. We're talking Steelers players and the teams that they are facing. So we're going to really focus in on that for the remainder of the episode. But before we do that, this is your friendly reminder that the Steelers Fantasy Football Fix is a part of the BehindTheSteelCurtain.com family of podcasts. There are so many podcasts, I can't even name them all to you, and so much online content as well on the website if you're looking for news and updates and Steelers-related articles. You can check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com and also check out the other podcasts in the podcast network. BehindTheSteelCurtain.com is your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. For the remainder of the episode, we're going to talk about Najee Harris. I don't know where Devontae came from, people, but forgive me. It is Wednesday, after all, hump day. Najee Harris's fantasy breakout. It was a breakout from fantasy perspective because he did not have a great week one. This week he had a much better statistical performance in fantasy. So we'll take a look at that and how other Steelers fantasy performers performed. And then after the break in the middle of the episode, we're going to look ahead to Bengals week and then take a look also at some week two trade targets. One of my favorite topics is trading in fantasy football. So we will dive into that and see what options are out there to bolster your team as you continue the start of your fantasy football season. All right, let's recap the Raiders. It was a tough loss. Oh, I still hurt thinking about it. Call me a homer, but I really think the Steelers lost because they lost so many players on defense. And I know it's injuries are not an excuse in the National Football League, but they can be a reason for defeat. And I think that the loss of key players, basically half of the defense was, half of the defensive starters were injured, all of them being major contributors to how the Steelers play defense. And that made them unable to scheme or to play to the scheme that they had in place to defeat the the Las Vegas Raiders. So I really think that that was a huge part of that. The offense does have to play better to win, but the loss of those defensive stars really hurt their chances in this game. So, man, I want to see better. I'm hoping better comes in week three. But let's talk about the fantasy performances from the Raiders game, specifically for Steelers players. Najee Harris had his what we were all hoping he would be type performance, 19.1 PPR fantasy points, and his use as a receiver, 5 targets, 5 catches, and a touchdown is solid. It's what we were hoping for when we were drafting him in the late first, early second round. And it's growing. That role as a receiver is growing. I think Ben is starting to look his way more when the play breaks down. Hopefully that continues when guys aren't open downfield, because he's going to make people miss in open space. He's going to get yardage. He's going to set you up for better positioning on the next down of play than if you were to throw it away or take a sack. So I hope Ben starts to look to him a little bit more. His touchdown catch in the second half did salvage another rough statistical day for him, especially in the run game, 10 carries for 38 yards. That is not what we thought we were going to be seeing with the proposed recommitment to the running game by the Steelers brass, head coaches, or all the coaches. We heard all offseason we're going to recommit to the run. And 16 carries in week one, that's all right. But 10 carries in week two, that doesn't cut it. That's not recommitting to the run game. We need to see more commitment from Pittsburgh in the run game to Najee Harris. And if that happens, then you're looking at a superstar, guys, in fantasy football. If the receiving role maintains its current pace or grows, which I think it will, and the rushing continues to improve, hopefully the offensive line can gel better and better as the year goes on, then you're looking at exactly what you were hoping, which is a back-end running back one in Najee Harris. Deontay Johnson, we're moving on to the wide receivers. He led the team with 19.5 PPR points. He was the highest scoring fantasy performer in PPR leagues for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had a team-high 12 targets. 2 weeks in a row, he is the team leader in targets. And we talked about that going into the season ad nauseum. He is the target leader for the Pittsburgh Steelers when he's healthy. He did get banged up on literally the last play for the Steelers offense in this game, which is very unfortunate and very concerning. It's a knee injury. It looks like he avoided major injury, which is good news, but his status for week three is definitely in doubt. So keep an eye on that. If healthy, lock him in to your lineups as a volume-based wide receiver two with upside for more. He's going to be a top 15 wide receiver by the end of the year, barring injury. You can mark that down. Juju Smith-Schuster had a touchdown run, and he had 6 catches, so his usage is good as far as number of catches and quality reps. But he's not getting a lot of depth of target. His role is identical so far this year as it was last year in 2020. So he's a weekly flex play to me. His floor is super high. He's going to get 5 to 8 catches a game typically. And then the yardage on top of that is going to play into his fantasy total. So really high floor with upside for more. 16.4 PPR points in week two was a solid showing, and you'd have been glad you had him in your flex spot with those totals. The touchdown did help him out, but you're getting good work for Juju Smith-Schuster underneath from a fantasy perspective. Chase Claypool, guys, I apologize. This was probably my start of the week based on how I was talking last week in the article, which will come out every Thursday on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Andrew Wilbar and myself, our starts and sits for the week. I had Claypool as a locked-in start, and I apologize for missing on that prediction. Claypool's going to be boom or bust all year long. Hopefully we see more booms than busts, but 9.7 PPR points is not what you want out of a wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3 play. So We hope for more, a better rapport with Ben as the year continues. I think that is a possibility. And then also, if Deontay Johnson misses any time due to his injury, you have to give Chase Claypool a boost. But he is a big play dependent target. He's going to have his big plays, so you can still keep him in a starting position or first guy off the roster type thing. Keep him in your consideration every week and hope for a better rhythm with Ben as the season progresses. Let's move on and talk about Big Ben, Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger, as BTSC editor Jeff Hartman refers to him. Let's just put it how it is. He's not a viable fantasy quarterback at this point, and he really needs to play better as in when you're just talking about the game of football as well. The yardage totals were pretty good in week two. He did push the ball downfield a little bit more and a little bit better in week two, so that is good to see. But right now, he's not putting together the touchdown numbers that you want, and the yardage will be inconsistent as the offense continues to grow. Like we talked about earlier, I'm hoping to see him start checking down to Najee a little more when routes don't develop downfield or guys are covered, because that's going to help him with his passing floor a little bit, and it's going to help this team gain yardage as well. I'd really love to see a 2016-2017 Le'Veon Bell-style usage out of Najee from Ben in the passing game, and that could help spark a lot of offense and maybe help put Ben in better position to make some downfield throws, because they can't just sit on the wide receivers with Najee running the flats and the underneath routes as well. So hopefully Ben turns it around a little bit, but right now, even in two quarterback leagues, for the most part, unless you're in a deep league, I think you might can find some better options than Ben. Definitely in one quarterback leagues, though, you have better options than number seven for your fantasy lineup. Let's talk the tight ends. This was an interesting game because we talked about last week how they really share time and a similar role in the offense. But, you know, we can ask the question after this week, is Pat Freiermuth starting to separate himself as the more reliable target for Ben? He did have four catches on four targets for 36 yards, so not crazy stats by any means. But when you consider that Eric Ebron put up a big goose egg in the stat sheet for week two, you got to think that maybe Patty Fry is starting to take a little bit more of the starting role from Ebron. Could be a guy to keep an eye on waivers this week and definitely after week three if his performance continues to elevate. The defense, special teams for the Steelers, was not good, obviously, in this game, but they were missing several huge pieces, down way too many players to be the type of takeaway and sack-dependent defense that they can be that'll score a lot of fantasy points. So watch the injury report this week. If you see a bounce back in health from some of the superstars, we should see a bounce back in performance from a fantasy perspective for this defense special teams unit as well. And then let's talk Chris Boswell, 7 points in week two. Definitely a lesser performance this week than last, but he does have a pretty high floor for a kicker because the Steelers offense does struggle when they get into scoring position sometimes. So now Boz is going to have more kicking opportunities than some. But he's more of a streamer play than an every week starter for sure. So check the matchups with Boz in future weeks and, you know, take a look. And like I said, with kickers in one of my shows before, a preview show, you know, look for opportunities for a decent offense against a bad defense or, you know, a great offense against a great defense, you're gonna get more kicking opportunities. So that's kind of how that works for kickers. Look for kicking opportunities, and that's going to determine usually the ability of a kicker to score a lot of points. All right, before we move on to take a look at the Bengals, we are going to take a short break. But don't go anywhere, because afterwards we're going to talk about all the players, all the fantasy players involved in Week 3 for Steelers and Bengals. And then we're also going to look at trade targets for your Week 2 fantasy football season. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Welcome back to the Steelers Fantasy Football Fix. Just a reminder, you can find me and follow me on Twitter at TheBetz93. That's at THEBETZ93. I'd love to hear from you guys how your fantasy leagues and participation is going in 2021, how you're doing through 2 weeks, any big trades that you've made, how many leagues you're in. Hit me up. Let's talk fantasy football beyond this. I would love to hear from the listeners and get to know you guys a little bit better. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Let's jump right into Bengals week. Hopefully, the Pittsburgh Steelers can rebound from a rough outing against the Raiders. The defense hopefully gets a little healthier. Hopefully, we still have Deontay Johnson available to us for this Week 3 matchup. But I do like the fact that it's at home. I like the fact that it's coming off a tough loss. I think Mike Tomlin will have his guys ready to go. So looking forward to Week 3 matchup on CBS, 1 o'clock this Sunday. Let's break it down from a fantasy perspective, who we should be looking at in this game. Let's start with the running backs. We're going to jump right into Najee Harris. He is a good start again this week. Again, we talked about it last week. You're not really going to be benching Najee Harris unless he has a series of games in a row where he is underperforming, underwhelming, or he gets injured. So keep him in your lineup as a solid running back two with RB1 upside for this week. His volume's going to be there. I think he's going to continue to grow in the passing game like we talked about. Since he has a middle-of-the-pack run defense, I think they're 15th against ranked against running backs, but I think Najee's passing game prowess will help him to be a solid start this week. On the other side of the ball, Joe Mixon, who's had a pretty decent start. His Week 2 performance was not that great, but for his performance last year with injury and everything, his ability to play all three downs and his performance to start this season has been pretty decent. But I would fade him this week, flex at most, against stingy Steelers defense against the run. Even without some starters this last week, the running rush defense was still top-notch. So I don't necessarily like Joe Mixon scoring a lot of points in this week, but if you have to play him, put him in your flex spot, and hopefully you've got some players ahead of him on your running back depth chart that are in good matchups this week. Moving on to the wide receivers, start Deontay Johnson if he's healthy, but keep an eye on it, because if he goes into the game with a questionable tag and ends up playing, the likelihood of re-injury is definitely there. So If it's looking close, it might be a good idea if you have the depth to do it to give him a week off and hope that his injury continues to heal and maybe give him a run in week four against the Green Bay Packers. But for this week, if he clears the injury report and it looks like he's a healthy, good to go player, he is a starter against a Cincinnati defense that gives up big plays against the pass. He could be a wide receiver one this week, but I think you're more relying on him to be a wide receiver two. So definitely play him in that position. Flex, Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool in this game. One of them will continue to put up solid points opposite Deontay Johnson, I believe, potentially both of them as well. And if DJ is a no-go this week, then you can definitely jump Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool up to wide receiver two status against a softer Bengals secondary. Good play from the Pittsburgh Steelers wideout should be expected for fantasy football this weekend. On the Bengals side of the ball, I'm starting Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase as flex or wide receiver twos. But I would, I guess, temper expectations for them, especially if guys like Joe Hayden can come back, even Devin Bush, guys that roam the middle of the field. The Bengals wide receivers could get the Bills treatment a little bit and not really put up great numbers against this Steelers defense if the defense comes back and is healthy for week three. But keep an eye on that. And Higgins and Chase are definitely good starts. They've got good rapport with Joe Burrow. You're hoping for targets and catch volume here because I don't know if the big play is going to be there against a Steelers secondary that's hopefully going to be healthy this week. So keep an eye on that. Tyler Boyd, though, is a sneaky flex play out of the slot. I might even put him above a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, who I think the Steelers would look to shut down. Tyler Boyd, a sneaky flex play because of slot, of the position he plays. I think his ability to get open against linebackers will be a huge boost, and with the pass rush getting in quick against a not very good offensive line, I think Joe Burrow will be getting rid of the ball quickly, and many times the closest target to him will be Tyler Boyd. So a potentially good flex play even against a tough defense. Moving on to the tight ends for both sides of the ball, fade them all. Don't play anybody. All right, we need to see what Pat Freiermuth can do if he is for sure taking over that pass-catching number one tight end role from Eric Ebron in this offense. I want to see it one more week before I give him a nod, and even more so, I want to see him get more targets than he even got this last week. So check that out, but keep an eye on Pat Freiermuth. But CJ Uzama from Cincinnati doesn't need to be in your lineup, and Eric Ebron for sure does not need to be in your lineup. Quarterbacks, it's the same thing. We're fading them all. We're not going to play Ben Roethlisberger unless you have an injury to a starting quarterback or you're in two quarterback leagues. He could be a potential stream in those areas if he's healthy. And we have gotten word that he has suffered an injury to his left pectoral. So we need to keep an eye on that. His status for week three is definitely in doubt at this point. But Joe Burrow, if the defense, again, is healthy, keep an eye on that. I don't necessarily like his potential in this game, so temper expectations if you have to start him. But I would definitely bench him for other options if you have them. As far as defenses go, you're going to start the Steelers defense, but Cincinnati is a no-go. Don't need to be playing them in this game. I think the Steelers play a style of football that is going to be pretty safe. You're not going to see a lot of turnovers, I don't think, out of this team this year. So keep Cincinnati's defense on the back burner, but keep an eye on Steelers starters coming back. TJ Watt, it's looking like he's probably going to come back for week three. I would expect Joe Hayden and Devin Bush to be the same. So if those three guys are playing, I think you put this Steelers defense right back in your starting lineup, as you will most weeks of the season. And then at kicker, both kickers are solid streams, but I wouldn't be starting them necessarily if you have a better kicker option. So keep an eye on that. If you're into streaming kickers, you can stream either kicker for one of these two teams. All right, that is the Steelers-Bengals matchup in a nutshell. To kind of wrap that up, I think where I'm going with this is you want Najee in your lineup if you have him. And you want whoever's going to be the Steelers wide receiver one for sure in your lineup. If that's Deontay Johnson, put him in there. If it's not, if he's unable to go, then I think that wide receiver one spot goes to Juju Smith-Schuster, with Claypool maintaining his role as the deep threat with more targets, obviously. And then James Washington will come in and fill the position that Johnson leaves, but I do not think his targets will be where Deontay's would be. So that is my advice in that area for Steelers-Bengals Week 3 showdown. All right, we're going to jump into the last topic here, some trade targets. Through 2 weeks, we've got some guys that are underperforming their draft value, and they could be targetable players in drafts. People start to freak out about the lack of usage or the lack of production from some of these guys. The first one right off the bat, and I think a lot of you are probably thinking this as well, Saquon Barkley, the Giants running back, is currently RB48 in fantasy football this year. That is not where he was being drafted. And I know the injury has plagued him coming into the season. He's not at full strength. But as soon as he gets to full strength, which it looks like week 3 could be the start of that, he can really break out and provide that first round value that you were looking for when you drafted him. So keep him on your radar. He's a great trade target at this point. And then another running back I like as a trade target is Antonio Gibson. He is running back 32 in fantasy football. And that's, again, not where you were drafting Antonio Gibson to be. He was a late first round, early second round type running back in a lot of drafts. So Antonio Gibson, I like his style of play. He's not a guy that will get injured that much, I don't think. So, and he's going to get the goal line carries, and he's starting to pick up a few more targets in the passing game. So Antonio Gibson is a guy I would be trying to trade for if you are needing running back boost at this point. Always when you're trading, try to send an offer that gives the team you're trying to get a player from, gives that person a weapon that will enhance one position group on their team. And it doesn't necessarily have to be equal value to value for a player. But if a player is, or if a team is really struggling at the wide receiver position and you have an abundance of wide receivers, maybe throw your wide receiver 3 at them and see if they will take that for an Antonio Gibson type player. Saquon Barkley, you might have to do a little more work for, because most managers will also evaluate that he has the upside to be a top tier running back for the second or for the remaining portion of the season. So keep that in mind when you are targeting these players. All right, I've got 3 wide receivers here. The first one is Robert Woods. He is currently wide receiver 41 in PPR leagues, and that's not where he was being drafted. He was being drafted to be a top 20 type player at the wide receiver position. Cooper Kupp really running away as the wide receiver one there in Los Angeles. He is the wide receiver one in all of PPR fantasy football right now, according to ESPN. So Robert Woods, though, has kind of fallen behind, but I would expect him to get his feet under him as he gains rapport with Matthew Stafford, and he's going to be a fantastic receiver this year, even in two relatively downer games. He has still scored double-digit points, so keep Robert Woods as a trade target for this week. The second wide receiver I have is A.J. Brown from Tennessee. He is the 47th ranked wide receiver in fantasy football right now. He's got the potential to be so much more. Ryan Tannehill has struggled to start out the season, but the targets will come. The production will come as that offense rounds into form. But I like A.J. Brown as a trade target this week as he has underperformed to date. DK Metcalf is the third target, and he might be a little bit harder to get because he's a top 35 wide receiver right now. He's wide receiver 33, and he did have a really good week one, so week two was definitely a downer. But sometimes you can jump on down weeks for teams that are frustrated with losing a tight game because a star player did not meet expectations. So jump on a DK Metcalf if you can. He was one of my seven wide receivers at the beginning of the year that I thought could be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football in 2021. Kind of being overshadowed by his running mate there in Seattle, Tyler Lockett. But DK Metcalf will get his targets. He will be a tough wide receiver to cover. So somebody to look at in trades for this week. And then I've got a tight end here, and it is George Kittle. He is the 12th ranked tight end, and that, my friends, is not what we were hoping for out of George Kittle in 2021. He was supposed to be a top three locked and loaded guy that you could just snatch in the second or third round and lock it away, that he was going to be a top level tight end target. He has not appeared to be so far, but he can be, and as the offense continues to evolve and the year continues to move forward, I expect George Kittle will become a bigger target in the passing game. So get on the George Kittle train while you can. Kyle Pitts is another one to maybe jump on, but I think managers have calmed down a little bit after a pretty decent week two. So George Kittle, definitely somebody to target in trade talks this week. And then lastly, we're going to jump on a quarterback, the guy I mentioned when talking about A.J. Brown, and it's Ryan Tannehill. He is putting up great attempt numbers on a weekly basis. He's putting up a lot of attempts, and he's going to pass the ball a lot. Their defense isn't that great, so they're going to be playing shootout games, I believe, a lot. So Ryan Tannehill, the touchdowns will come. The production will come. Just ride it out a little bit longer. Hopefully week three will be the turning point for Ryan Tannehill, and he will become the QB1 that you drafted him to be. Right now he is QB23. All right, those are some trade targets to keep in mind as you approach the week three slate of games. If you guys have any other trade targets that you want to mention, again, hit me up at TheBets93, THEBETZ93. Love to hear from you. Who are you targeting in trades this week? All right, that does it for the Triple F Podcast Week 3 edition. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Come back next week, next Wednesday, for another episode. We will recap Steelers-Bengals and look ahead to the Green Bay Packers. Hope you all have a great Wednesday, and God bless.